In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Metroplex. Happy Friday to everyone. Got the entire morning squad here. Sean Trefar, Jay Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton back from the sickness. Caitlin has us up running live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We have Shannon Sharp going off on the Cowboys leadership. We have the official picks for this game. We have the junk drawer, and we have our final Justin Timberlake ticket giveaway of the week coming up during the commercial-free expressway. But I'm holding out a little bit of hope, and I'm going to sell this a little bit like Adam Silver, that the NBA, the NBA has improved their All-Star weekend.
As Mickey would say, we'll find out. Mm-hmm. But they are going to go to a, expected to go to a four-team tournament-style format for the All-Star game. Two semifinals played, up to 40 points. The winners advance into the final matchup of up to 25 points. It's the first of its kind event. It's going to be a quick burst competition. So the NBA was in discussion to have three All-Star teams of eight players, and the winners of the Rising Stars game take place in this tournament. They would face each other, for instance, 1 versus 3, 2 versus 4, however you want to do it. The winners move on to the final round. So there's a new little format that they're discussing that they're going to do at the All-Star game. It's in San Francisco this year at the Golden State Warriors' new palace.
You're trying to tape up and glue up something that's broken. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the All-Star games. I understand they got to find something.
Yeah.
This
is going to be better. My idea was, if you want people to play harder, you have to isolate them more. You have to shrink down the rosters. You can hide too much when it's 5-on-5. If they could have gotten like 3-on-3.
Hoop it up.
I think guys play harder because you're exposed more when you're not trying. And I think with everyone sitting on the sideline, there's more of a competitive pickup feel to it. So it's not going to totally fix it, but I do like what they did with the flag football for the Pro Bowl. I'm still not watching it a ton. I might tune in like a little bit more, but this, I think, will increase the competitiveness. It couldn't be worse. It literally could not be worse, as we're talking about 210 to 205 at the end of those games.
Right, and it's like, you know, make it as backyard as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what the flag football is with the NFL. It's something that we did. You know, we did the hoop it up. We did the 3-on-3. You know, it's not
so
just high school ball.
This is going to be four teams of what? Of eight?
Yeah.
See, I hate that. I don't want any subs over there. Like, maybe one. Like, four teams of six. Or make it not a team of five that's out there, four guys on a team. You don't want it to take forever to play, but having eight guys, maybe that makes people play harder for the shorter minutes that they're on the floor with rotations.
I'd love to see a half court.
Well, see, to your point, the 3-on-3 is a better idea. That if you go, there's 24 All-Stars, right? Because it's 24 All-Stars, and then it would be the eight players from the Rising Stars Challenge or whatever.
Just keep the rising stars out of it. 24 guys, that's more than enough.
24 is, so if you take three players from each, that's eight teams. Okay, bracket style.
Yeah.
Four teams in each bracket, and then they play, ultimately, the most you play is three games, but you play three games to 21 with three on three. I would be much more interested in watching a, like, tournament style over the course of 5 hours on a Sunday. I would be much more interested in watching that than I would be watching whatever the All-Star game is. But if you're not going to do that, then just throw me the crappy All-Star game. If you're not going to get rid of it because you feel like you can't just play the All-Star game.
No. Don't play the All-Star. No. You cannot do as is. You cannot. It is unwatchable.
Well, Adam Silver has shown, again, how spineless he is, that last year he wagged his finger at him and said, guys, you have to take this seriously. And they're like, no, we're not going to, because you don't tell us what to do because we're your boss. And Adam Silver is the weakest. What was Randy's old line? The empty golf shirt. That's Adam Silver. He's the empty crappy suit.
Luka is going to miss some time because of a wrist injury. That news broke from Shams during our show yesterday. When speaking to the media, he wore a wrap on his wrist. Luka said, quote, I don't know when it happened. Honestly, I started feeling it in the first quarter, but then it just got worse, but nothing serious.
Man, I mean, just the timing of this is so bad. I mean, right in the middle of the cup of pool play. I mean, it's just terrible.
All right, let's get to some Diamond Cavs with RJ Choppy. Mike Bassick informed me yesterday in the commercial break that free agency actually started in Major League Baseball. I had no idea, no clue. It seems like Juan Soto or bust, but we did get MVP awards yesterday.
We did. A couple of unanimous ones. Both guys getting unanimous selections. It was 30 votes for Aaron Judge, 30 votes for second place for Bobby Witt.
Ooh.
And then you had a couple, I think Soto got like 26 third place votes. So Judge got all the first place votes in the AL, and Witt got all the second place votes. And Shohei swept the National League as well. He was a unanimous selection. So both of those guys, Judge wins his second. I think this is his third for Shohei. They're the best players in their respective leagues overall. And now Shohei will be pitching again.
How pissed is Mike going to be that Wyatt Langford didn't get a vote for MVP?
It's not as valuable, right? It's not as valuable winning the MVP as it is the Rookie of the Year. But I haven't seen the odds for next year, which is way too early.
Which is such a funny thing to say, but it's true. Yeah. It is not as valuable for a team for your team. Player to win MVP as it is Rookie of the Year.
So yesterday we talked the Hall of Fame for the NFL, for the Pro Football. The new players on the Baseball Hall of Fame.
And didn't someone ask, by the way, before we leave this, if Judge is the greatest home run hitter of all time?
Oh, my God. This is where I really hate the sports media. This is David Schoenfeld, who we like. We like him. You know, he had an article. This is one of those Don Van Natta 5,000-word articles, too, asking, is Aaron Judge the greatest home run hitter of all time? Like, can he get ahead of Jeremy Burnitz on the all-time home run leaders category?
Jeremy Burnitz.
Before we start asking if he's the greatest home run hitter ever. Like, he's got 315 home runs. Like, can we tap the brakes? Let him get to 350. Is he even at Will Clark? Like, give him a second here.
You guys passing around Will Clark audio highlights last night.
Man, Will Clark, he's on the podcast with Eric Burns, and it's tremendous. I mean, it's just Will Clark going ham on today's players, and that gets tired, it gets old, but...
He's reached the age where he's allowed to just old man complain about people, and he's taken advantage of it.
He's Charles Barkley with the ability to curse on like you'll really really say some foul language. And he'll tell some dirty stories. Like he's such a lightning rod.
He literally is talking about 230 hitters and how they don't try to make contact, and talking to every 230 hitter in baseball, he doubled middle fingers the screen and went, F you. Like, he's a bitter man about nobody trying to make contact anymore.
So, the Hall of Fame, the new members on the ballot are, just give me a quick, maybe a yes or no, Ichiro.
Yes.
Yes.
Sabathia.
Close.
I feel like I lost this battle with all you guys when we talked about this at first. To me, I wasn't like, I don't think of CC quick mentally in my mind as like a Hall of Famer, but I think you and Bassick and everyone else thought he was.
He's got 200. Now, wins don't really matter
anymore. It would feel like to me he was a compiler versus like, oh my God. I Was he was at his best in Milwaukee, right?
Oh, I mean, that half year was like they pitched him every third day.
I don't know. Every fourth day. I don't know. Outside of that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is shut down. This is over. This is dominant CC who's going to overwhelm you. I could be wrong, but just in my mind, that's how I felt.
He didn't have a single year where he spent an entire year in one league. So if he was in the AL or the NL, not the year where he got traded from AL to NL in the middle of the year, when he spent an entire year in one league, he never had an ERA under 3. Like he was, and I would feel like a Hall of Fame pitcher over 20 years would have at least a year where they had like a 280 ERA.
That full year he was a 270 that full year
because he switched leagues, right? And it was different. I'm talking about if he stayed in the advantage, league.
He's like, what? How awesome would it be for a player to be like, no, I want to trade. You're putting in my contract. I want to trade to the other league every year so they're not familiar with you. You keep jumping back and forth. Idea.
He had
I'm sure teams would just sign up for that. Yeah, we agree.
5 top 5 in Cy Youngs. 1 Cy Young award.
Okay.
I don't know that he gets in the first, but I think he is a Hall of Famer. There's still a faction of the Hall of Fame that values wins, and he's got 250. And that's
he'll probably get in.
Here's an interesting one. Felix Hernandez.
What was the length of time? I mean, plenty of time, right? I think of Felix as more of a Hall of Famer than CeCe. That could be wrong.
Maybe I think it's just his peak. I think I think if you had like say you need one start.
Yeah.
I might go Felix because Felix, I think, was more dominant.
Felix pitched definitely long enough. I was thinking of a different guy.
Yeah.
Felix had 2 ERA titles. Felix was top 3 in Cy Young, or top 2 in Cy Young 3 different times. Felix's career ERA is several points lower than Sabathia's. It's
3.42. What was CC's?
3.74.
It's close, not.
That's, I mean, a third of a run's a pretty significant drop when you're talking about for a career. There were 4 times. We talk about Sabathia didn't get under 3. Felix was under 2.67 4 times.
Yeah, I feel Felix is, he's got that like more ace, like super ace stuff.
Are you saying yes to Hernandez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Felix is more of a Hall of Famer than CeCe.
Now, you're going to have other guys like, I mean, Dustin Pedroia, Hanley Ramirez,
no.
Troy Tulowitzki, Brian McCann, Curtis Granderson, Adam Jones. Those are all nice players, but they're not Hall of Famers. Billy Wagner is probably going to be the one that's a holdover that's going to get in. He was 5 votes shy of getting in last year. Anybody who's historically gotten over 70% has gotten in, except I think Curt Schilling is like the only one that hasn't. And then we'll see what happens with guys like A-Rod and Andrew Jones and Manny and Sheffield. You know, these guys have gotten up there.
By the way, I was curious, so I had to look it up. He has CeCe Sabathia has the same exact career ERA as CJ Wilson.
No way. Yep. Really?
Well, these things also, like, you know, your later years, like look at Felix, you know, Felix Hernandez's numbers, they you get punished the longer you hang on.
You get punished at the end.
I think it's funny. We're putting CJ Wilson in.
The Rangers are one of 2 teams.
No one's putting that douchebag in.
Yankee defender, old Bristol bias Sean over here.
Yeah.
The Rangers are one of, I should say, 3 teams that don't have a place to play on television right now. Rob Manfred announced yesterday that they are eyeing the long-term media rights plan for all 30 teams. They want to nationalize the media. So they want to make the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Orioles and the Nationals get rid of their local TV deals. Like, they own the network. They want them to get rid of it to make it all under one umbrella. Those teams are going to push back. But Diamond Sports Group has negotiated with Atlanta, Detroit, Angels, Miami, St. Louis, and Tampa. They're going to have their contracts expire by 2028, but they're all under contract with those things. A bunch of other teams, like Arizona and Cincinnati and San Diego and others, said MLB will broadcast the games. Seattle is expected to join. The Rangers and the Royals are the only 2 right now who have really no idea what they're going to do.
It's awesome. Love it. Love it that we're coming off of a year where they were like, well, we have no money, so sorry. And now they're just like, well, we may not even have a place to play games. Who knows? We may just have to latch on to Victory Plus or do something. They have...
Stars can do Victory Plus...
You can
Plus,
listen to every game right here, though, on 105 Through the Fan.
No reason why a Major League Baseball team, which has 162 days of content, can't come up with their own network. You have 162 days of content. This is not like the NBA. The Longhorn Network, for crying out loud, They came up with a network just for 10 games, essentially.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me you can't find 160, you have 160 days of free content?
Dot, dot, dot. That's all I'm going to say. We'll see.
Oh, what do you know?
There may be some developing situations. I don't know. I can't really. I don't want to.
Is this going to be like the CJ Goodwin play? We're going to be. You've got some inside information here.
Yeah, when you forget that too that I said it.
I gave you credit for it.
There are some Diamond Cavs with RJ Choppy on your home of the Rangers, which right now looks like you're going to absolutely need. Otherwise, you're not getting your baseball fix. Let's hook you up, y'all. It's Friday. It's our final Justin Timberlake ticket giveaway for you. Turning it on, leaving it on. We are commercial free. Bobby takes you inside the Commanders film room, and Shannon Sharp absolutely destroys Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, Jerry Jones, and everyone else on the Dallas Cowboys. Audio you have to hear is next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't even know where to begin. There's so much explosive audio. Micah Parsons yesterday, Bobby gathered that as our Cowboys insider, Ford sent at the Star in Frisco. Jerry Jones being asked yesterday about the Biden comparisons. Deion as head coach. Shannon Sharp taking a blowtorch to this entire locker room. We have a Justin Timberlake ticket giveaway. We have the junk drawer. We have everything for you. Friday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby. I guess we should start with a little preview about the game. Let's go inside the film room.
Yes, and before we take a look specifically at the film, let's take a look at the ref crew really quick for this week. Trey Blake. This is about as positive of a referee assignment as the Cowboys have gotten all year.
Let me ask you this question. With all these referee previews, mm-hmm. have you found that, like, it's mattered?
It has. Yeah, the trends that we found in there have applied to the games. Like when we've talked about they call a certain penalty or they do this or that, it has ended up mattering. Now, the Houston game was one where we said it generally, there's not one that he calls more that benefits them or anything else. It's pretty down the middle. There were a lot of penalties in the game, more than he had really thrown all year, but it was still balanced for the most part. They were getting called at a balanced rate. This one is going to be positive for them because they're getting one of the stingiest penalty crews in the NFL this week with Trey Blake. They don't call hardly anything. If you look at where they're at relative to the rest of the NFL, there's no penalties that they're near the top of the league in calling. Their raw penalty total is down near the bottom third of the league. The only thing that is really substantial where you see, oh, that's different from a lot of the trends and it's different from being a down the middle thing is they call on average a lot more penalties against the home team than they do against the road team. So, if you're Dallas, that's a good thing this week. You're on the road in Washington. That would be a positive. But Trey Blake's crew really does not call anything at a high rate across the rest of the league. They're middle of the pack or lower on every penalty, essentially. So it should be a cleaner game, you would hope. All right, so Washington. We always hear about, you know, Cliff Kingsbury comes back, and we talked about how there's a lot of air raid influence and, you know, the different Is there McVay to some of this? Is there Kyle Shanahan to some of this? What are they doing that's different? I'll tell you, the offense that it looks like to me is Green Bay. Like, it looks a lot more like what LaFleur likes to do. Generally, it's going to be, you know, a lot more from pistol formation than a lot of other teams. It's the run style. It's the run design. It's the way that they set up their splits on offense. Those sort of things are all very similar to the way that Green Bay does things. So it still looks very Cliff Kingsbury air raid type, but it's not nearly as pure as it's been in the past for Cliff. There's definitely some influences, some things he learned while he had stepped away. And I don't know if that's influence from Lincoln Riley or if that's influence from just his own study of trends across the league. There is a wild bit of research out there. And Cliff Kingsbury, I think, was actually asked about this yesterday. A post went viral this week showing EPA per play, which is expected points added. And every single year that Cliff has been in the NFL, his team's EPA per play has steadily risen and peaked in October, and then November on just bottoms out the rest of the way.
Oh.
And so the thought process from a lot of people is Cliff comes out with a plan, Cliff attacks, defenses adjust, teams adjust, and he does nothing to respond to it. And that trend has started again this year, where he hasn't done a whole lot to adjust to what the rest of the NFL is trying to do to them. They've tried to take away a little bit more of what Jaden Daniels wants to do. They've started trying to stack the box a little bit more. Now, one of the really fascinating things about Washington is they are the second most frequently stacked box team for the run in terms of defenses stacking the box against them. Number one is Dallas, or light boxes, I mean, sorry.
A light box.
They're a light box. Dallas is the highest light box rate in the NFL because nobody respects the run game from them. If you look at the other teams in the top 10 of light box rate, Washington is the only one with a positive expected points added, which tells you they're setting up formations that are just giving them favorable numbers, and then they're able to run out of it. The other teams, they don't respect you. They try to stack the box against other teams. A Philadelphia, a Baltimore, they're saying, we don't care if you stack the box against us. We're going to load up. We're going to run it. We do it this way. Cliff gets the advantage because of the way that he just sets things up with formation, causes the defense to have to account for different things, and they naturally get lighter boxes and that they're able to take advantage of it. Brian Robinson's really good for them. Austin Eckler, it feels like, has kind of found the fountain of youth. They've obviously been able to
Brian Robinson, I love him.
He's so good, and he's tough.
He's like, I'm glad you said that. He is like James Conner light to me right now.
Yes, literally a little lighter.
I love James Conner. Yeah. He'd be on the All-Sharif team.
This is, by the way, really quickly, I'm going to turn this around so you can see it. This is that chart that I was telling you was going viral. Those peaks are all October of the season for Cliff Kingsbury, and they nosedive every single year.
Wow.
That's every year that he's been in the NFL. And so defenses adjust typically. Yes. And so, look, this is November here. You've started to see some struggles. I think the last 2 weeks are the worst offensive weeks for Washington in terms of their EPA per play and different things. Jaden Daniels has been good. I do think Cliff deserves a lot of credit for putting him in a position to succeed. Like, you watch a lot of what he's trying to do schematically. Where Jaden deserves a ton of credit is he's so poised. There's not a lot of mistakes. He sees everything. He recognizes where danger is. He avoids it, and he takes advantage of things. He takes calculated risks. It's not consistent, but he'll find his spots to take risk, and he usually benefits from it. So I think that this is going to be a really difficult week for Dallas to stop the run. They've been better in recent weeks, it felt like, just responding to the run game, playing better, a little bit more solid defensively. There's not as many busts. They're in better position. They've played a lot more quarters coverage recently with their defensive scheme, which we talked about this with Kevin Smith on Cowboys Crosstalk the other day.
Well,
when you're just dropping into quarters coverage, there's a lot less communication. There's a lot less disguise that you're doing, and you're just telling guys to, hey, just focus on doing your job. And I think that's where Zimmer's adjusted a little bit, as he realizes, hey, we're trying to do some different things here, but let's not confuse things too much, especially with all the injuries we've had where guys are getting swapped out, because that's causing confusion and communication issues, and it's been a big issue for us.
Man, Jaden Daniels has not thrown for 210 in his last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I lost two of them.
He has not thrown for 210 yards, and He's not thrown for three touchdowns all season, but he's thrown for one touchdown in the last 2 weeks as well.
So, like, I think that it's we're seeing this in the league that when you're like a mobile quarterback, your ability to play immediately goes up because you do have that added element to your game to where, hey, look, I mean, you can break somebody in and then they also know that if it's not there, they just run. But I do think that it stunts your growth a little bit. Whereas if you're a pure pocket passer, you come in and you may struggle early on and then you start to figure it out.
Well, and there's also, like McCarthy mentioned it at 6:30, the college influences have become so common across the NFL that a lot of times I think that's one of the explanations you hear from people around the league of why quarterbacks come to the league better prepared to play is because the learning curve's not as sharp. You're running concepts that existed for you in college. There's not the, well, there's the college game, and then there's the pro-style offense, and you got to learn a whole new system. You got to do these different things.
They've also screwed it up because Brady has talked about this. They're not prepared to play. They're prepared to play. They're more prepared to play, but they're also less prepared to play from the standpoint of they don't teach them how to play the position anymore. They teach them how to play a system.
Sure, and I mean, like, you see young quarterbacks struggle with scheme adjustments. Like, as teams tend to adjust to whatever you're doing, yeah, they struggle with that. That's why Stroud is so impressive. Stroud's really good at, like, reacting to what defenses are doing to him. His biggest area, we talked about it last week, was the ability to sense pressure and how to move in the pocket. But Stroud is really advanced in terms of being able to get through his progressions, get through his reads, read the defense, know what they're doing in front of him. But Jaden Daniels has done a decent job of that. One of the things that was really interesting to me, I heard Brian reference this week, and I was like, I'm going to look out for that when I go in there. 10 touchdown passes this year for Jaden Daniels. How many of those do you think have been inside the pocket?
10 touchdowns? Inside the pocket?
Yep.
3.
0.
10. He hasn't thrown a single pass for a touchdown that's been on a rollout,
wow,
or a busted play, or anything else. It's all been inside the pocket this year for him.
Wow.
Which, that's where he kind of finds some success. So typically, if he starts moving, he's not one of these guys. You don't see a lot of this anyway. You don't see a lot of Jaden Daniels getting on the move or trying to salvage a busted play. When a play busts, that's when he's just going. Like, he's going to run. He's not using it typically.
Hmm.
Like, where Lamar has a lot of, like, advantages is Lamar will step up in the pocket. He'll run around. He's just, and he's still got his eyes downfield. He's looking for something.
Yeah.
And if it's not there, then he goes. But Jaden Daniels, it feels like a lot of times, if he starts using his legs, Jaden Daniels is just going to use his legs and he's not looking for any benefit in the passing game. But that's what they do offensively. Defensively, they've got to run the ball this week.
The Cowboys?
Yes, they have no choice. Like, and that's not anything to say that Washington's secondary is really great. They're playing Noah Igbinoghi full-time snaps right now in the nickel. That's not awesome.
Wow, I don't think that's good. He could run back a blocked punt, though.
Yeah, he can do that. If it's tossed to him, wasn't it tossed to him? Or did he scoop it up? I can't remember. But he is, it is one of those things defensively where Washington is just so porous on the edges. Like, they don't do a really good job containing the edge.
Fowler and
Armstrong are upfield players. Like, in fact, that was one of Armstrong's biggest issues a lot of times here in Dallas was that he was really bad against the run. They tackle well. They're really good tacklers, but it's just not just those edges. I mean, Washington's defense tackles really well. The problem is just that they do a really poor job of keeping the edge, flowing the defense the right way. There's occasionally some over-pursuit stuff. It is definitely a Dan Quinn defense in terms of its hair on fire, its, you know, form, technique, teach tape type of tackling. But overall, you look at Washington's defense, you just say, the way to take advantage of them is going to be in the run game because they just – they have a lot of the same issues at times that Dallas had stopping the run when Dan Quinn was here.
I thought it was Hearts on Fire, the song.
Hearts nope, it's Hair on Fire. That's what that was.
I think this game is going to be one of the earliest ending games of the day.
Well, it's a noon, so at 3 o'clock it's over?
Yeah, I think this thing's going to go by fast. That's going to be my game time prediction.
And my prediction is that it will be Washington on the other side that's screaming, it's only 3:15, because I think that this is going to be a difficult day for Dallas.
Well, let's save it for 8 o'clock.
I know I'm not going to give you the score. I'm just saying, I do think that...
You loved blowing up teases.
I did not. I just said
I did not. I'm just going to tell you. They're the ones celebrating after, but I'm not telling you anything.
I'm gonna not giving away my pick. Yeah. They're the ones that are going to be really happy at 3:15.
Sorry. I guess you guys should expect that a 10.5-point underdog that's lost 5 straight games, I might have picked them. No, this is just...
It'll be close.
This will be something where if Dallas has got to commit to the run. Again, this is another week where we're saying the same thing. I feel like this feels like a game Trey Lance should play if you really wanted to win, which maybe, honestly, maybe you don't want to totally. Maybe you want some of the natural tanking a little bit. But if you really want to make things difficult on Washington, I think they'd have a ton of trouble if you were out there running read option stuff with Trey Lance.
Okay.
So that's Washington, and that's Dallas.
There it is. That is Bobby Belt inside the film room here on DFW Sports Station. We have a Tolo ticket giveaway for Justin Timberlake coming up. Oh, my goodness. There's so much that happened. Micah Parsons yesterday was... talking inside the locker room.
Yeah, he had a lot to say yesterday. And he was glowing. He was excited. He couldn't wait to talk to everybody. In fact, I thought it was... we should start with...
I got all the audio lined up. I just wanted you to set the scene for...
He normally gets set up outside the locker room. He gets posted up in front of one of those official Cowboys backdrops. He did it in front of his locker room first. And I don't know, did you see the video at all?
No.
He's literally standing with his arm on the locker sideways, like he's just kind of like, this is really casual and light. And then in the middle of it, he goes, all right, we're still talking. Let me sit down. And then he like sits down about 6 minutes in. But he gave a good 12 minutes.
What were you going to start
with the media? I was going to start with, I pulled them in chronological order, but I was going to start with 10 because it was just kind of the, okay. Hey, nice to see us with the media again.
Did you miss us?
Oh, man, did y'all miss me? I think it's the other way around. I give y'all all y'all feed. Y'all need me.
Don't confuse us with Rex Ryan.
Nah. Yeah. I see y'all. You know what I'm saying? Y'all should blow up a little bit more. I'm trying to get y'all Twitter pay. Y'all Twitter premium?
There you go. See?
That's you.
All right, three things in that. Number one, I forgot that Micah had not talked to the media after the last two games.
Yeah.
Has he been doing it before, during the week, though?
Or no, he did not do it last week.
So has he been fined yet or just warned?
A lot of times we won't get those publicly, but you typically get fined.
So three things. Number one, I've forgotten that he had boycotted the media. Number two, I like that Clarence Hill did that. I think that's important. Clarence saying, don't get us confused with Rex Ryan, okay? And because I think that's what happens a ton. And the local people get punished for it, and it's not right. It's not right. David Moore, Clarence Hill, Ed Werder, a lot of different people. They're not going out, you know. They're not going out there and creating these buzz headlines. Todd Archer, John Machota. It's the First Take shows, but that's what these guys pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these guys fall victim to. That's the trap they fall into. So you're going to punish all the local beat reporters, they're not doing anything. It's these whores on television. It's these click whores, these headline whores that Mark Cuban would call them. So I'm glad that Clarence said that. And the third thing is Micah is correct. He is giving all of us a ton of content. So I want to give Micah his props, remind everyone he hasn't been speaking, and remind the players it's not the reporters who are living with you every day at practice and in that locker room. It's First Fake.
But it shows you right up here. He knows. He said, I see y'all stuff. He said, my stuff pops off a little bit more. He knows it. He knows exactly what he gives. And like, I like the line. It's a good line where he says, are y'all Twitter premium? I'm trying to get y'all Twitter paid. I'm trying to get your impressions up. He was sharp yesterday.
So Micah wanted to go back to the Mike McCarthy comments and clarify himself.
Yeah, I should elaborate on that a little bit more. Obviously, when Jory talked about here. So when I'm talking about here, I'm thinking of Dallas Cowboys. I have no reference. I was in middle school or elementary school when Mike McCarthy was at the Packers and other teams like that. So obviously I have no relevance from that. So when I'm talking about here and Dallas Cowboys and what was accomplished the most, you know, I'm thinking about the guys, and I've only ever been here. So, you know, obviously, no disrespect to his career and what he's made for himself as being one of the most winningest coaches, because, you know, I could have just done better. I was angry, and I just didn't finish. I wasn't as thoughtful as I usually am, and, you know, I didn't think people would take that context the way it was, so that's on me. I lost, and I didn't want to finish, and I was trying to hurry up out of the locker room, so next time be very more careful about what I say. So, that's my apology.
Wow. Great answer. Yeah. Great audio clip right there.
And you hear his voice. He sounds bright. It's like the 2 weeks away was like good for him, because he sounds much more engaged and brighter and happier. And
Choppy defended him yesterday. Micah defended his comment over saying, you know what? We are a damn good football team.
I think we're playing better. We're not playing great yet, but we're playing better. I think it's night and day, the difference on how that defensive line is playing, how the linebacker playing. People are getting experience. So when I say we're a good team, it's like people don't always look at the growth part. I know we're growing. I know some of these young guys who didn't get the opportunities, they're getting better. Let's look at the film. Let's break it down. Yeah, of course, young guys are still going to make mistakes. That's what learning is. But in terms of how I believe we are and where we're going, by the end of this year, y'all going to say Mike Zimmer didn't have all his pieces, but we sure did put a damn good defense together. And I can take that, because I know we can grow from that.
And, man, you know who Micah just served it up for? You know whose McGriddle he salted and walked over with that plate with the towel on his forearm? He served up Jerry Jones a dream comment. Because what do you always say, Choppy? Whose fault is it ever?
It's never the player's fault.
Never the player's fault. Why?
Because Jerry picked the players.
So what a dream comment for Micah Parsons to say, we got a damn good roster. We got damn good talent. And KMC asked Jerry about that yesterday.
Well, I like that. And
of course you're kidding.
The facts are that he's right. Now, the issue there is that there's 31 other damn good football teams that for whatever the reasons, they all may not have it together, and they all may not be winning the games against other good football teams. But Michael's right, and as a point of emphasis this morning, we have got so much more left in our season, and those games are so important to us. Each one of them are. And it's important that everything we can do to win the individual games. Well, one of the things you do is you recognize that you're a bad play away, you're a mistake away, many times as an individual player, from making the plays or being involved in a situation that can win the game. Now, that's very critical to us, and that's very critical to us that we give ourselves every chance to go up here this weekend and beat that Washington team. And I look at the rest of the schedule that way. So I think Micah is just an expression of, hey, we don't look at it like season, or we don't look at it like playoff. We're looking at it quarter to quarter. And to me, that's what you have to do.
The great Nui Scruggs just hit me up. Micah was not fined. If he missed yesterday, he would have been hit with $25,000. He doesn't get fined for not talking after?
You probably get like a warning.
Well, did it twice.
But somebody has to report him. Right? Whoever it is. It used to be Shireen.
I mean, pro football writers have to report a lot of times, and they have before, but I'm pretty sure that if the Cowboys impose it themselves, like a lot of times they're self-reporting from the Cowboys.
Did anyone ask? Well, no, it wasn't him. It was Lamb and Diggs who did the video afterwards. Right. The music, I can't keep it straight. Well, Shannon Sharp on his Ocho Cinco podcast went after the music video, the MTV stars.
Everybody talks about winning. But do you take the steps in order to win? How is partying? You got your ass kicked. I would have left the stadium with a bag over my head. Ain't no way y'all seeing me leave the stadium. After I got beat like that, after I've gotten beat like that every game, 47-9, 37-10, 48-32, a yada and a partridge and a pear tree, and you do this, is disrespectful. Yeah. It is disrespectful to the fans that pay their hard-earned money But you know what? It couldn't happen to a better franchise, because all they want to do is run his mouth and talk about what they're going to do. And this team, I've been around Super Bowl teams and this and that. And all they players do, because they take it from the top, they run their mouth, and they ain't one dog crap. None of them.
No, dog. You can
not
say
one.
Now, Choppy, I know you're probably rolling your eyes at that. Does it you think any differently because it's Shannon Sharpe and still kind of in touch with, you know, the guys who are playing today with all his social media stuff and be like, okay, maybe there's something more credible to what they shouldn't be doing in their own time after the game? Or no?
Well, no, I think Shannon's being intellectually dishonest here. Like, I'm sure Shannon went out after a loss.
With like Michelle.
With Michelle. Like, is Shannon telling me that every time that they lost a football game when he was in either Denver or Baltimore, that immediately after he went right home and watched film and got in the tub?
Because fans are loving this audio, and here is part two.
Hey, and they talk about they know what it takes. You don't know what it takes to win, because none of you guys have won. It is disgusting. It's disappointing that these two are your best players. This is what they think. See, it just goes to show you. See, everybody tells you what they think you want to hear. But I see what I need to know. And it tells me everything I need to know. You can't convince me these guys care about winning, because this is not what you do when you want to win. So what's in the club that's going to help you get better? Take your ass home and start the recovery process. This is why I couldn't play in today's time. Because guys, I don't care what they say. Guys, most, a lot, don't care about winning. They like the bag. Yeah. They like what comes along with being an NFL player. You're going to get the baddest women. You're going to get to go to the clubs. You get to move to the front of the line. You get to go all these places. But everything, our brand, my brand, the Cowboys is the brand. Ain't one player on that team got a damn brand, because you ain't won nothing, because you don't care about winning. You ain't got no leadership. That's your number one problem. Who's the leader?
I mean, again, like, I just don't know. Like does Shannon trying to tell me that every time they lost by 21 points or more?
Sounds like he is trying to tell you that.
I think Shannon is being just get off my lawn guy who just conveniently forgets that everything that they would have done back in the day.
Bobby, do you agree with any of this?
You know, he said something there that I was.
Because a lot of people do take what Shannon Sharpe says with more credibility.
Well, they probably take it with credibility, but like, is it real? Like, and you know, like, would the people do the same? Like, if you have a bad day at work, do you just go home and mope, or do you maybe do something to take your mind off it? You know, do you go to dinner? Do you go grab a drink on the way home from a bar, or on the way home from work to the bar?
It did make me think. He said something there that I guess I hadn't thought of this explicitly before, where he says, "Ain't none of y'all won before." And I'm trying to think. I don't think I was just scanning over the roster. Dallas might be one of the only teams in the NFL that doesn't have a player on it that's won a Super Bowl. I'm not even sure that there's somebody that's been to a Super Bowl looking over this roster.
A little research project that ML Football can steal from.
Cooks would have gone to one, but Cooks didn't win because Cooks was in New England in 2017. But otherwise, you're talking about, I don't think there's a single guy on here that's. So all of your Super Bowls come from your coaching staff. It's McCarthy, it's Zimmer, it's those guys.
Is Cooks playing this week?
That's where it's hopefully trending. He's been limited in practice. The guy who it's looking less likely for is Zach Martin.
Final one from Shannon before we hook you up with Timberlake tickets.
Ain't no way. That's what you get. They got no leaders, Ocho. That is the problem that the Cowboys have. They're devoid of leaders. They're devoid of leadership top to bottom. The owner isn't a leader. He thinks because he's worth $16 billion. He thinks because he has a TV show. He's the only owner, the only GM that really has a TV show. He thinks that makes him a leader. Mm-hmm. Little does he know, they don't pay him no attention. Mike McCarthy's not a leader because they know he's been emasculated from the day he arrived. All he is a coach in title. He has no powers. He's Batman without his belt. What the F could Batman do without that belt?
So there you go. Shannon.
Weird analogy.
That's great. On with Ocho, destroying and blasting the Dallas Cowboys locker room. Let's hook you up for being with us all week.
All right, Tolo's calling number 10 right now at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see Justin Timberlake on Friday, December 6th at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, we'll pick the game. at 8 o'clock. Totals have been on fire, just saying the Cowboys are going to get destroyed every single week. Will the trend continue at 8? Let's clean up right now with the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it! I'm going to start this off with a couple of pieces of audio from broadcasters. The first is the viral moment from Adam Schefter, who was on the This Is Football podcast, and he was asked, where's the weirdest place that you have broken a story?
I can remember being in Denver one time, and I was how do I say this? I had just spent time with this woman for the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
And
sure.
And got a text that Dale Carter was being suspended. I think it was for 8 games for substance abuse. And so as I continued to lay there, confirm it, and got the job done, Kevin.
In more ways than one is what he finished up with.
Yeah.
Boy, that's
So my first thing in listening to that was, well, Choppy, you've done a lot of investigative work and wondering on this. You start.
I reached into my sock and pulled out the red challenge flag on this one.
Okay, I thought you were going to do something. Oh, pull out something else.
Yeah.
You know, to be fair, we do speak in 2020.
Bobby, good job.
I did not
need further comment. You let it float out there. You let it rest. Good job.
I let it go.
I do think that maybe he is just speaking in 2024 terms. Because we just say, I got a text, which is like a way of somebody, it's the same thing as somebody reached out to you, right? It's just like a way. Because this is the year 2000. I wanted to Google, like, 1999 was the first year you could text between different platforms. Okay. So what are the odds that Adam Schefter was texting in the year 2000 with, he may have been, but the odds that somebody, his source, was also texting. Like, not everybody was texting.
With a team, though, you got to think it's probably a team source. So it is probably an executive who would have that kind of communication.
Schefter was asked a follow-up on his weekly appearance on WEEI.
Well, first of all, I am completely shocked that this has taken on the life that it has. Like, I believe all day long I've been responding to texts about this, including one fight this afternoon. My wife didn't appreciate the story as much as other people. I should point that out.
Strangest thing.
Some people enjoyed it. My wife, not as much.
So that was the first thing I took from the clip. When he goes, this woman, was this woman his wife?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know the answer
to that. If this is 2000, he married his wife in 07.
Man, you guys have really done a lot of homework.
I just looked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was like,
oh, yeah, I know. 11 months after meeting on a blind date, they got married. So this was some other woman.
I totally understand. Oh, that's what I was thinking when I heard the original clip. I'm like, his wife is not going to be happy. Because it couldn't be his wife, because why wouldn't he have just said, I was with my wife? But for him to go and say another girl like that, that's ballsy right there.
Just say, why not change the details a little? You just say, I was with my wife one time and I got a text about a player getting suspended. You don't have to tell me.
Because that does nothing. Lying about it doesn't make the wife feel better.
No, it does because I'm sure she has no clue. I'm sure she has no clue if he's ever gotten a text to broken a story in the middle of it.
Oh, you're saying go home and convince the wife it was her?
Or I'm just saying when you're telling.
And then your wife Googles Dale Carter.
I'm saying, no, when you're telling Kevin Clark.
Right?
Carter story, and she's like, no, that was before me. Oh, see, you try to have choppy thinking, he just puts you in the master class.
No, I'm saying if you're talking to Kevin Clark, there's no reason to give the detail of Dale Carter. There's no need to timestamp it. You could have said, I was with my wife, I was doing this. He can have all the details.
That much about it.
Clearly he wasn't. Because
the next piece of audio, you have anything else on this?
I think what was said.
All right. The next piece of audio comes from this building. I couldn't believe it. Blake Elliott? This is on Fan After Dark?
Yeah, the fad. They were hosting, and I believe...
Fan Phenom, Blake Elliott at night.
Yeah, Fred was out. I don't know who he's co-hosting with that night.
It was Kevin Walker in for Fred.
Oh, okay. Well, Kevin Walker was in for Fred, and then it was Chris Strong on the board. And Blake Elliott, the two-time G-Bag of the Day champion, for this little bit of audio where he clearly didn't know FCC rules.
Before we even get into it, for the 9-4-0, I knew 3 Taylors, and they were all batshit crazy. Also, a very unisex name. You don't agree?
No.
I mean, say it with your chest. If you don't agree, Kevin, you're giving me a crazy look. Do you not agree Taylor's a unisex name?
Blake, I think Kevin's a little thrown off by that text you just read.
Yeah.
Which one?
I just wouldn't read it again.
The Taylors?
The 940?
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into
thank you, Chris.
Blake it or leave it. We can say
no.
We can't.
What is happening?
Go back
what
to broadcasting school, man.
What is happening?
I know.
How did this happen?
I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I think I have an idea because he didn't go to broadcast.
No, he did. I think he did.
He never saw the George Carlin skit.
Look at Reitman laughing back there. That was maybe the most clueless thing ever said in the history of this radio station. Ooh. The most
Joe Payton talked about Phoenix being a small market.
Well, he didn't say it on the air.
That's true. Blake has said on the air before that he thinks all allergies are fake, though. That he thinks that those are placebo effects.
Well, there's a lot of people who probably believe that these days.
And he thought Denver was a state. Wasn't that another thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember? He's like, is Colorado the city or is Colorado the state?
I think this is worse. And he so casually followed up with, you can say S on the air. And he said it.
He said it again.
Like, this guy has no fear. There's no guardrails whatsoever. What is happening? All I care about is what did Spittle and Tim say or do? That's all I want to know. Because I'm like,
they get texts when the dump button's hit. They get a text.
So yeah,
they got a text.
They get
and
an
then
alert.
Another one seconds later.
Do you sit down? Like, this has to make Spittle reevaluate his entire life. Like, I'm like, 10:30 meeting, Blake, tomorrow morning.
what do
you say? That's all I want to know. Gavin and Tim, if Spittle walks in here, 9 o'clock hour, what did you say to this?
Did they reach out to Blake before Broadus could reach out to them, do you think?
Gosh. Holy mackerel. The cluelessness. Are you kidding me?
The cluelessness it's hilarious, though. Just the
it's alarming.
The confidence.
It depends who you are.
My favorite is just Chris Strong going, whoa, my gosh, he just did it again.
How do you not know what a
is
bad
it what, unisex
what
is a problem?
Is.
I can't say unisex?
Yeah, unisex. I can't say unisex.
It's not like the word ass. It's not like the B word right. Sometimes we can get away with. He just said S-H yeah. blank blank. Wow, Blake Elliott. This will be Bobby's next draft pick to co-host with. That'll be his dream. Blake Elliott and Bobby Bell. Get them both out of here.
We've already got me, Chiafalo, and Bassick on the air at the same time.
If I was the KMC masterpiece, I would not let Blake on during the 14-hour show. It's too dainty. Like, you're not even allowed to come on for charity. For 14 hours, we could be dying in here in the last few hours. You're not allowed to come on here and speak into a microphone if you are that unaware. The five things Choppy wants to see in the official Commander's pick next on The Fan.